The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Well, I don't know how the weather is where you are today, but it has been just a dismal, misty rain all day in Dublin, which is unpleasant enough for people walking around in, but can you imagine what it must be like if you're sleeping in a tent in a makeshift camp in Dublin city centre, which is what about 200 men are doing at present? We're joined by two guests. In a moment, we'll hear from Nick Henderson, Chief Executive of the Irish Refugee Council. But first, Kitty Holland, Social Affairs Correspondent of the Irish Times. You have been down to the pavement on Mount Street Lower, behind the International Protection Accommodation Services offices on Grattan Court and Grattan Street. What did you see down there?
Yeah, and I suppose, I mean, first of all, it's important to acknowledge there's an awful lot of Irish people have been sleeping rough and living in tents for a long time. But I suppose what, and that's appalling and wrong. But what makes this somewhat different, I suppose, is the fact that it's a new phenomenon in that there are, as you say, almost a sort of tented village has emerged down at the offices of the International Protection Accommodation Services. And yeah, I mean, these are men who have come to Ireland seeking international protection, asylum seekers, and they're have been not been able to be offered accommodation, and they're sleeping in tents. And what we're seeing is, they've no access to toilets, to running water, to refuse collection. So the real just squalor is emerged with that many people clustered together in one area. There's a huge amount of rubbish. There's a smell of urine and feces, and there's a huge need because when they arrive, they aren't provided with any tents or sleeping bags or anything like that. That is all coming from members of the public, from charitable donations, from people who are concerned about their plight, and they're in these terrible conditions. But what's emerged in the last week or so is that they're now people are getting very ill.
Yeah, what sort of illnesses are people experiencing?
Well, they're experiencing scabies, respiratory conditions, gastrointestinal illnesses, obviously levels of mental health problems, and that kind of thing. And I know that the HEC has taken a few, from this community into isolation because of the very infectious skin infections they've been getting.
Where are these people from? I think you've been talking to quite a few of them. What are the stories that you've been hearing from them?
Well, I mean, they're coming from Afghanistan, Nigeria, Zimbabwe, Cameroon, Liberia, I've been down there a few times over the last few weeks. I'm starting to meet people from Palestine there. So they're, I suppose, in Ramallah and Palestine, and they're getting to Ireland. They're telling how they arrive here and having escaped from things like the Taliban. I met one young man who's 22, and he said that his father had worked for the US Engineer Corps and was killed in Afghanistan, and his mother kind of told him he had to get out because she feared for his life. He said to me, I was here in the snow and it was very difficult. It's very cold here. We're sleeping on the streets and I'm thinking I escaped from hell, from Taliban, and I'm thinking, and now I'm also in hell because sleeping on the street is also in hell. He talked to me about the cold, about how hard it was, about the water getting into the tent, how his clothes and his sleeping bag is wet. And he said, when your clothes and wet are so bad, I feel so sick. And sometimes I'm asking, am I a human? So they're feeling dehumanized and expressing that. And then I did meet a man from Ramallah, from Palestine, and he got very upset because he just, I suppose, felt that he'd got here and that people were being so kind to him. He got emotional about the kindness of strangers. He said, I don't understand anything that has happened to me. I'm speechless. He said, 22 Arabic countries don't stand with us, but Ireland is good. Thanks be to God. And so they're so grateful for the, it's almost pathetic how grateful they are. They should, but that's the position they've been put in.
And Kitty, do they say why they've come to Ireland? Why do they think Ireland would be a good place for them to come to?
Well, I mean, they've come because I suppose they feel that Ireland is a welcoming place. I mean, they've, you know, you can't get away from the fact they have travelled across Europe. They've passed through many countries like France, Italy, through Eastern Europe. And one may ask why they didn't apply for asylum there. But I mean, these are the judgments that the International Protection Office will make in adjudicating on their asylum applications. But they get to Ireland, they have a right to apply for asylum. There's a legal obligation on the state to provide them with accommodation and the basic needs, basic means to meet their needs, and that's not happening. So they're disappointed, I suppose, when they get here by what's happened, but also then very taken and grateful with the kindness that's being shown to them by people who are concerned about the humanitarian disaster that's really...
And Kitty, has everyone been kind to them? Because we do remember that there were incidents last year in that area where some thugs decided to try and burn out some of these unfortunate people.
Yeah, I mean, I have heard reports. There was one man who was attacked, and I saw the pictures of him. He was attacked in the last few days down there in that area, but it doesn't, this question marks over whether it was a racist attack or just a drunken opportunist attack. They are vulnerable. I mean, there's no doubt that if, you know, whether you're Irish, Afghan, or from Zimbabwe or from anywhere, if you're sleeping in a tent on a street in the middle of a city centre, you are very vulnerable. And there have been also reports of people walking through with dogs and you know, making comments, but whether that would escalate into anything. But I have heard that in recent days, in the last 24 hours, since there's been more publicity about what's happening down there, that there have been kind of things circulating online that are would be regarded as somewhat menacing, I suppose, to the safety of people down there.
Stay on the line, please, Katie. I want to bring in Nick Henderson, Chief Executive of the Irish Refugee Council. Why is this happening? Why is it that those people seeking international protection are being left on the side of the street?
The government states that people aren't given accommodation when they arrive. Single males aren't given accommodation when they arrive because they have, in other words, the government, the International Protection Accommodation Service of the Department of Integration, have exhausted all accommodation capacity, they say. We don't frankly accept that. We are aware, and you may have seen RTE reporting in recent weeks, of vacancies, bunk beds that are vacant in City West Convention Centre, and also the figures around, if you put Ukraine accommodation vacancies together and IPAS accommodation vacancies, you get about 4,000 beds. Now, the government say that they're being held back for flex and capacity surge, etc., but the capacity is there, and 10 days ago, people were taken off the streets for two nights or three nights during the snow and then put back onto the streets. So the official government line is that accommodation capacity is exhausted, but we don't accept that, frankly. And in December 4th, when this began, and this is the second time this has happened, it happened in the spring, but in December 4th, when it happened again, we wrote to government asking for spare capacity to be used, but also other government departments to bring forward buildings or vacant spaces that could be used. But unfortunately, as Kitty's covered in her reporting, and other journalists, including people like Laura Fletcher, have covered in their reporting, the situation has gradually escalated and is now a humanitarian crisis on our street.
But the government today, though, has confirmed the location of almost 2,000 new beds for Ukrainian refugees at five locations around the country. Why can't these beds also be made available to the international protection seekers?
Well, that's a good question, and we've drawn that to the attention of government. They would probably say in response that they have to retain capacity for the people who are coming from Ukraine, and there's still not as many people as in the past, but still relatively significant people coming, numbers of people coming from Ukraine. In May of last year, RTE reported on figures in rest centre capacities. These were the local authority spaces that each or several local authorities around the country put forward and contributed to the Ukraine effort. And there was figures suggesting that there were significant vacancies there. But whichever way we sort of slice and dice this, unfortunately, there is a stark reality of people sleeping rough in terrible conditions. As you've just said at the top of the piece, Matt, the rain in today in Dublin is terrible. It was terrible on Monday night, so people in terrible conditions. But there are likely to be enough beds somewhere in the state right now for these people to be accommodated, and that's not happening. And the government can say that they're retaining capacity, but we're in a crisis situation. It's an unprecedented crisis. We've been doing this work for 30 years as a charity. I've been involved in this work in Ireland for 14 years. We've not seen a situation like this ever before.
And what do you say, Nick, to those people who say, well, terrible as this is, but we have our own homeless, 13,000 of them, who should be given accommodation, that we need to look after them first? What would you say to those people?
I would say that we understand the very, very severe housing crisis in Ireland. We work with charities and other bodies who are trying to respond to that. We have put forward ideas and recommendations to government that specifically do not draw on capacity that should be being used to support people who are already homeless here. So things like the vacancies that exist within the current accommodation system, the idea of other government departments, Department of Housing or OPW or HSE buildings that could be stood up on an emergency basis to accommodate people, that these are not solutions or ideas that will draw away supply from the mainstream housing crisis that we have. So it is possible, we believe, to support and assist two different groups of people, but who are ultimately in the same desperate plight. So we do think it's possible, and we've, as I say, put forward ideas that don't draw supply away from the existing problem that we have.
To finish with you, Kitty Holland from the Irish Times, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar in the United States said today he was only aware of what was happening from the media coverage. He would meet the minister to discuss it when he gets back, presumably Roger O'Gorman. And his quote is, when it comes to providing accommodation for people seeking international protection, we prioritise children, families, and we'll continue to do that. So would that suggest that it's going to be single men who are going to bear the brunt of the government's lack of capacity to house them?
Well, it is single men who are bearing the brunt, and you know, there's more arriving every day. Like I heard from some of the volunteers working down there that there's another 15 or 16 have arrived today, and they're running out of pavement space down there. When I was down there and on Monday night, and the Palestinian man arrived, they walked around and circled around as a number of times looking for a space for him to pitch his tent, which had been provided by them, and they couldn't find just two Afghan men had to move their tent. So it's single men, and they are the ones bearing the brunt of it, and you know, they're really, really vulnerable, these, you know. And but the other thing to point out is the vast majority of the volunteers are women down there, who do not feel threatened by them, who feel very safe working with these men. So these men are, in my experience, they're very gentle, grateful men who just want a place to lay their head while they wait for their asylum application to be processed. But they are, as you say, the ones who are bearing the brunt of it.
Kitty Holland, Social Affairs Correspondent of the Irish Times, and Nick Henderson, Chief Executive of the Irish Refugee Council. Thank you both.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.